Next one's from MetaChampion328 from Twitter. And they said, spaghetti and meatballs Tangela. It's perfect. It's perfect, including a picture. It's a Tangela where it's pasta colored, you know. It's an off-white, and it's just like pasta the feet are still brown. Or, well, the feet are brown. And, yeah.
It's pasta colored.
Yeah. It's great. It would work perfectly for...
Who says that? I mean,
for an Italy right. variant of Tangela, too.
I feel like for the audio only listeners, pasta color was probably the way to go, actually. I've just never heard that out loud, but people can probably
pasta has
imagine
color
that.
Unless you actually color it differently.
You're tuned into the GoCast podcast, your one-stop shop for updates, news, tips, and community in the world of Pokemon Go. Thank you for listening.
Bon Sweet makes its Pokemon Go debut in the most sustainable way possible.
You won't want to give Swinub Community Day Classic the cold shoulder.
Whether it's 2K or 7K, will the egg pool at least be okay?
Arceus knows where GoFest will be this year, but we can still make a guess.
And more on this episode of GoCast. Hello and welcome to the GoCast podcast, episode 233. It's April 18th, yet another Tuesday evening. I'm your host, Chris, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Kyle.
Hiya.
Hey, Kyle, how you doing this week? How's that mouth?
I'm better than last week, so we're going to take it as a win.
Good. Can you actually use mouthwash again without crying?
almost. Maybe not mouthwash, almost. But definitely water.
Oh, good. And for those of you that didn't hear episode 232, Kyle was plagued with a cut in his mouth of some sort. So that's always a bummer and a half. Glad to hear you're back with us.
I'm alive.
Can smile. Pain-free?
No. The smile's still pretty rough, but it's there.
But that's unrelated to anything, any damage, right? It's just hard for you to smile. Is that what you're trying to say?
Oh, sometimes. It's the Starbucks.
It's the everything for me. Anyway, let's give a quick shout out to three brand new patron supporters of ours. Thank you to Hayden, Nabil, and Zachary. We appreciate your patronage very much. More about Patreon and patronage at the end of the episode. Thank you so much to you three. We appreciate it. Okay, Mr. Kyle, since we last recorded, we had the legendary community day of Togetic.
Yes.
And we set some goals around that and other stuff. So let's address those goals, shall we? You were a little bit busy. You had some other plans that day. So your first goal was to catch three shiny Togetic. And how did you fare?
I did. So I nice. Got to play a little more than I thought I was going to. So that was great. I played 2 hours instead of three.
How many did you end up catching?
13.
13 shinies.
Yeah, and a shiny Togetic, or Togepi, so.
Ooh, nice. How many eggs did you hatch to get that one shiny Togepi?
How many did I hatch to get it, or how many did I hatch for the whole day?
Oh, I mean, let's say, how many eggs did you hatch total, and then you only got one shiny, right? Yeah. So.
Well, I hatched like 60 eggs-ish. Okay. But I only hatched three to get the Togepi. It was one of the first things I hatched.
Wow. Oh, so you had the old switcheroo on you. You're like, oh, the rate's not so bad. And then it was
exactly.
not great.
Exactly. And then between me and my girlfriend, we probably hatched almost 100 eggs, and we got one, just mine.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. Well, okay, I guess this answers the next question then. 25 eggs hatched. Sounds like you did more than that.
Yeah. Every time I got a 5K egg, I was like,
the pain.
I think I got pain. I don't know, 6 or 7 5K eggs while I was out. I'm like, come on.
Yeah. Every once in a while I'd spin and I'd get like, you know, a 10K or something or a 5K. I'm like, I don't want you right now. Get out of here. The 5Ks are much less welcome than 10Ks, to be fair.
I did work through a bunch of my regular incubators for the day. So I had, I think it was a stack of 20 with 3 uses still on them. So worked through most of those. It was good.
Nice.
In that instance.
So, saving those incubators did actually pay off this time.
Yes.
Good deal. And then Mega Progress. Did you work on your Megas?
Yes. Slowly but surely. Although I may have to start going faster for Mega Groudon now.
Okay.
Actually, okay. Wait, no, I think my Steelix is already Mega 3, so I'm actually fine for this upcoming classic. Never mind.
Just to shield us from the emails, he does mean Primal Groudon, everybody. But for ease of reference, we're going to keep calling it Mega 3 and stuff for Groudon.
I'm not going to go Primal 3 progress. Not happening.
It does show up when you use Mega 3, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it does anyway.
Yeah, oh, so, yeah.
Great. And then 200,000 Stardust. Did you manage that?
Yes. Although just barely. I don't know, like 240,000 or something like that.
That's still a lot. That's great. Congratulations. That's a full house of goals for you. Well, I did overperform in some areas of my goals, but I underperformed in others. So I'm spoiler, you already won, but here we go anyway. I wanted to catch 30 shiny Togetic. I ended up catching 39. Happy to say that. I think 39, including one Togepi as well. And I hatched about, I think it was like 72 eggs or 74 eggs through the day and only hatched one Togepi. Very strange. My goal number two was 50 eggs hatched, and I did do that. I actually hatched a cool, clean 100 for this week on my Adventure Sync summary for the week.
Wow.
And speaking of, goal number three, 50 kilometers. I did like 31 or something like that, or 29. I was not even close. We had a lot of weird weather.
Yeah.
strange. I know that we say that a lot, and people that are not from the Midwest are probably like, how is this possible? But no, this is what it's like out here. What? It dropped like 60 degrees in like 12 hours.
Yeah, no.
Like,
Friday,
yeah,
it was 85 degrees outside. Saturday, it was like 45, and Sunday it snowed.
Yep.
So, yeah.
It's weird. Don't move here, y'all. Don't move here.
And it's not 57 outside, so.
Just keeping us on our toes. When can we mow our lawns? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But sadly, I did not make that goal. My last goal was 200 million experience. I had to get like 1.2 million in order to get there. I'm happy to say I got like 1.15. I'm like 50K short. It's an embarrassingly small amount of experience that I missed this mark by. But an L is an L, and I'm happy to take it. So 2 out of 4 for me and 4 out of 4 for you, Mr. Kyle. Congratulations on your victory. You did it. Wow. Mom, look, I did it.
I did it.
we love it. But anyway, let's talk a little bit more about Togetic Community Day, but let's do it in the news. Yo, what up? It's the news. We've got a couple of news stories this week, but first and foremost, let's talk about Togetic Community Day, how it went, all that good stuff. Kyle, I have to ask you, I know that your number one concern going in was going to be base catch rate. How was your experience in that? Did it work out? Did they fix it? Did they adjust it? What went down?
They did adjust it. I think they adjusted it literally 1 hour before it happened in Australia. So, but hey, it was better. It was still some yellow circles around there. It wasn't super great, but it was much better than what it could have been.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I didn't see too many yellows or oranges or reds.
No reds.
Yeah. Yes. Thank goodness. But even so, even with the yellows, a great ball, curveball throw, I was catching them no problem. I fast caught, I think, everything, or quick caught everything that day. So
yeah,
wasn't too bad. I think I caught around 750, and I played the entire time, except for a very small break, and I was talking with Camo. Hey, Camo, what's up? And that was, it was a good time. It was nice. It was a shame because it was beautiful, and then it started pouring.
Yep.
Right away.
Yep.
As the event started. And then the wind picked up, and I was like, am I in Fantasia? What's going on now? I don't understand.
Yeah, I got like, real lucky. I was right by, like a gazebo that we could get under as soon as it started raining. And I'm like, well, I guess we're just staying here.
Yeah.
I was kind of like fuming because I'm like, I want to catch more Pokemon.
Yeah.
And it stopped raining and we're like, awesome. Thank God.
Yeah. So, so overall, you know, was it a yay or a nay for you, Kyle?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I still don't care for like the Pokemon itself and all that didn't do anything for me, but the experience was good.
I mean, it was a yay for me, but let's just go on record. That's a bad shiny.
it's a bad shiny, but also where obviously statistics are messy sometimes, but between me, Chris, and my girlfriend, for statistics, we have, was that 200 eggs hatched?
Yeah, but like 170-ish, yeah.
We got two Togepi.
Two.
That's not 1 in 20 like they said it was going to be.
Yeah. Oh, shiny Togepi.
Shiny Togepi. We should say. I got 100 and I got 68 Togepi.
Yeah. I'm drowning in Togepi over here, but yeah, just the one shiny. No, thankfully I'd had plenty from before.
Yeah.
You know.
But like people were hatching eggs because of the increased rate. I'd be interested to hear other people's rates who hatched more than a handful of eggs, cuz it was rough. I was kind of hoping to get two with how many eggs I ended up hatching.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping to walk away with one or two as well, thinking that I would be hatching probably around 50, hatched more out of desperation in just the one. So, yeah, curious to hear if you listening at home or wherever you might be listening had exceptional luck or hatched 100 and saw zero shiny Togepi. Let us know. We'd love to hear about it. That'd be great. But enough about Togetic Community Day. Let's move on to some new news. This was announced this Monday. It was just announced, right? So Sustainability Week 2023. This is an exciting event. We've seen it in the past. Let's see how they do it this year. When is this happening? Thursday, April 20th at 10 a.m. to Wednesday, April 26th at 8 p.m. local time. So it'll be, you know, just shy of a week of an event. Pokemon debuts Bonsweet and its evolution Steenie and Steenie's evolution Serena are going to be making their Pokemon Go debuts. Cool Pokemon. I'm a fan. It's interesting. We'll learn more about that family later on in the show. Don't you worry. Wild encounters for this event include Squirtle, Shellder, Wailmer, Jibulbur, Cottonee, Petalil, Dwebble, Fungus, Froakie, and if you're lucky, you might encounter Larvitar, Binacle, and Bonsweet. Binacle's shiny. I keep forgetting that.
Yep.
Yeah. I just keep forgetting it. I know that was like last year sometime, right? But yeah, that still catches me off guard. And then in eggs, there's going to be an update to eggs. In the 7-kilometer egg pool, you will be able to hatch Cherubi, Drillbur, and Bonsweet. Cherubi and Drillbur are shiny. Eligible as well. Bonsweet is not new debut, right? Now, quick little aside. If you jumped on this announcement right when it was announced or released or whatever the case might be, the original blog post seemed to have listed this egg pool as 2 kilometers and not 7 kilometers, and which would have been awesome because being able to hunt for Cherubi shiny and Drillbur shiny in 2 kilometer eggs would have been sick. They've since been like, oh, actually, we meant 7 kilometers, and people are a little bit upset. The miscommunication stinks, but hear me out, right? If you're truly trying to target this, is it more difficult to hatch 7-kilometer eggs? Absolutely, but I'll tell you what's more difficult. Trying your luck at getting 2-kilometer eggs out of a Pokestop when instead you're getting 5Ks and 10Ks. Those 10Ks are going to get in your way of trying to then again try your luck once again for a 2K. At least in the 7-kilometer egg pool, you can target. I'm not defending their inability to communicate what they meant the first time. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it might not be 100% worse. At least we can target it now. I'm looking for the silver lining here, Kyle.
Well, I think there's an argument for both sides. First off, it's just like no one proofread your post. It's one of like 3 major tags that you can read on this post. I don't know. It's just,
yeah, there wasn't a whole lot going on. I don't.
So like that's just kind of absurd, which leads me to one of 2 things. It was originally a 2K post and they changed it to 7K towards the end of, you know, the proofing cycle for this event, which is the reasonable thing to believe. Or someone just didn't read it and it was a typo, which is harder to believe, but possible.
Yeah.
And so 7Ks bonus, easier to target. You only get what you want, but harder to hatch, obviously.
Yes.
And if you're using regular incubators or your free incubator, can be very difficult. Regular incubator, in the time you hatch 1 7K, you almost finish 3 2Ks. that's a huge significance in difference for if you're limited on incubators, for sure.
Yeah, I 100% agree. But also, if you're limited on incubators and you're looking for the 2Ks and then you get buried in 5s and 10s, you'll have a worse time as well.
So, yes, but on the flip side, let's say you're free incubator life, okay? Okay. And you have a full inventory of eggs. Doesn't matter. You're only hatching one egg at a time anyways. So the eggs don't get in your way until you got 9 5Ks. And if you're only using one incubator, it's not likely that that's going to happen in a 5 day, 5.5 day time frame.
Yeah.
But like if you're powering through eggs, it starts to rear its ugly head, of course. I prefer 7Ks because then I can just open gifts and I know what I'm going to get.
Yeah.
But again, the rates are going to depend. If that bomb suite is like a 5 egg rarity or whatever in the 7Ks and I'm still hatching Galarian Meows or something, I'm going to be like, please, somebody save me.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that it is just limited to these three, you know. So, and from the post, it reads as such. So that's my hope and my expectation. But we will see. If we're going to get a switcheroo from 2 to 7K, they might also switcheroo some of the verbiage in there. Or yeah,
I think that who knows? These will be added to the pool. I think that the verbiage, that's what the verbiage sounds like.
Okay, well, time will tell. But in the meantime, there's also more to this event. There's bonuses, in fact. Surprising nobody. We like our bonuses. If your buddy Pokemon is an Ultra Buddy or higher, it will bring you souvenirs more frequently. Okay, so real quick. Why would you care? Because it gives you a heart when they bring you a souvenir, and there's a crazy metagame around collecting souvenirs that we have really never touched on this show that we might have to at some point. But
I didn't learn that souvenirs were regional until we went to Seattle last year. So
like, what is this? This is new? Okay. Additionally, if your buddy Pokemon is a great buddy or higher, it will bring you leaf wrapped gifts more frequently. These gifts will contain berries more often, and they may even contain a silver pineapple berry.
This sounds like a downgrade, minus the silver pineapple berry.
If they said it was only going to bring you silver pineapple berries, it'd be cool.
I would rather it bring me the potions. I'm not even going to lie.
Yeah. Like, honestly, you know, like when somebody in your family gives you a gift and then you're like, oh, this is really just kind of a gift for you that you're giving me. Mm-hmm. Whenever my Pokemon brings me like 8 raspberries, that's how I feel. I feel like, eh, want to feed me those? Like, come on. Your buddy Pokemon will accompany you on the map longer after being fed, so it'll last longer.
Cool. That's cool. Sure, yeah. I guess.
Uh-huh. Timed research. Complete the research tasks to earn items, encounters with the following Pokemon, and more. It's written very strangely to be read out loud. So you can earn the encounter by completing the tasks with Drillbur, Trubbish, and Bonsweet. A reminder that Trubbish is extra Stardust and the shiny is fire. We love that shiny. It's cool. Field research task encounters. The following Pokemon will be available to encounter when you complete select field research tasks. Drillbur.
Okay. I mean, hey, if the field research only award Drillbur, sure.
Yeah. Well, it's a select field research tasks. It'll be probably the ones marked as event. Yeah. You know,
but like, so, that's usually great, you get like research for events and it can reward like 3 different Pokemon and you're like, okay,
right.
Come on.
Right. Yeah. You and like one of them can't be shiny and that's the most common. And you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, this is great. There's a lot of opportunity to target in this event, which is great. I mean, I know that we say it, we talk about that as a point every time we talk about events. This one has some good opportunity. But lastly, but certainly not least, new avatar items. The Bonsweet hat, the Steenee shirt, and the Serena boots. I think this outfit looks phenomenal. It is so cool. I love those boots. It's great. I'm a big fan. Yeah. The hat's really cute.
Are they actually boots or is it a pants option?
They're pants. With the boot.
With closed feet or whatever.
I think so. I think this is probably going to be like a boot item that makes it so that you can't wear a pants item as well, or something like that.
Okay. The boots are pretty awesome. It's nice because it's very different from anything else we're going to have, because this is a very different Pokemon from anything else that is out there.
It's very like catwalk sort of E, you know, and or almost like a Team Rocket supervillain boots.
Yes.
Like Jesse's boots. Yeah.
They're cool. They're unique looking.
They're really cool. Yeah, it's great to see more unique things. I think you're right there. So anyway, that's it for the event. Now, Kyle, you got a highlight and a downlight? I still don't know what the opposite of a highlight is.
Drillbur Shiny, I've literally been waiting forever for. I love it. And in my brain, it's always been released, even though I know it's not. So now that switch can finally be flipped for good. That's kind of about it. I don't care too much for the buddy interactions overall. It's not going to affect how I'm playing.
Yeah.
I'll have some eggs for the Bonsweets and the Drillbers.
I agree. I also would like to get some shiny Cherubi, because I just would like to get them and not have to think about them ever again. But I'm with you. Shiny Drillbur is a good shiny, and Drillbur is a great Pokemon. So it's cool to be able to just target it. Again, good opportunity to target. And then, you know, Bonsweet's evolution and family line is like pretty solid. So I'm very happy to see that in game as well. Well, again, we'll talk more about that family and stuff later on in the show in Pokalore, if you could believe it. Quick little aside here from future editing, Chris. What's going on, trainers? All right, so since we recorded, there's been an announcement for an event that is going to actually happen and be done before we're able to record next. So I thought I'd hop in here and give you a heads up. So on this Sunday, April 23rd, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. local time, there is going to be a Stunfisk Limited Research Day. That's right. You no longer have to look forward to walking them forever like Kyle did. You can just play this one research day and get some good old candy. I'm just kidding. I think you might still have to walk, but this is a nice big chunk of that. So featured Pokemon, limited field research tasks will be available when you spin photo discs at Pokestops. Complete them to encounter either Stunfisk or its Galarian version, Galarian Stunfisk. There's going to be an increased chance of encountering shiny Stunfisk and shiny Galarian Stunfisk. That's great. And wild encounters throughout the event window of 2 to 5 p.m. again this Sunday will feature Sandshrew, Diglett, Gligar, Swinub, Phanpy, Larvitar, Numel, Barboach, Baltoy, Hippopotas, and Drillbur. So best of luck with that this weekend. And now back to your regularly scheduled podcast. This next event, or news item we're going to be talking about here, is the April 2023 Community Day Classic. When is it? Saturday, April 29th, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. local time. And the featured Pokemon is going to be Swinub, our little watermelon pig. Featured attack, evolve Pillowswine, Swinub's evolution, during the event or up to 2 hours afterward, from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m., to get a Mamoswine that knows the charged attack Ancient Power. In trainer battles, Ancient Power does 60 power and has a chance to raise the user's attack and defense, while in gyms and raids, it has an increased power of 70, but it does not have the extra effect. Field research tasks, Swinub-themed field research will be available. Catch Swinub to earn rewards such as a Sinnoh Stone, which is required for the Mamoswine evolution, Stardust, Ultra Balls, and more. Timed research will also be available. You can complete those tasks to earn up to 4 Sinnoh Stones. While those are of no use to us, I believe that we do acknowledge and recognize how that would be useful for others. I just like collecting them and then just deleting them.
There's a certain satisfaction to deleting 20 Sinnoh Stones all at once.
There certainly is, yeah. And then Community Day Special Research Story, Swinub Community Day Classic, will be available for US $1 or the equivalent pricing tier in your local currency, as per usual. And last but not least, event bonuses. This is where the money is. 3x Stardust for catching Pokemon. Let's go. That's awesome. Lure modules and incense activated during the event will last for 3 hours, excluding daily adventure incense. And take a few snapshots during Community Day Classic for a surprise. It'll be our dear little Swinub, guaranteed. So, Kyle, Mammoth Swine is coming back. It has been a long time since Mammoth Swine Community Day or Swine of Community Day. And as was pointed out, I believe, by you, like within the last few episodes, we haven't had it available in mass like this since XL Candy was introduced. So this will be our first time to really amass any amount of Candy XL, right?
I mean, no, I mean, it was a feature for winter. Like it shows up when it's, you know, November, December time.
Yeah. So yeah, of course.
It did not have XL when the first Community Day rolled around, that's for sure. But there's been a lot of opportunities, I think. Yeah. I think it's actually the opposite. I think there's been so many opportunities for Swine of XL that it's not as exciting as it could be.
So from my perspective, like when it's part of an event spawn or something like that, that's over a long period of time, I never like catch mass amounts of that. I feel like most people get their focused play on these like hyper intense 3-hour events.
Oh, 100%. It's not even a question. Okay. But if you do care, if you went into November and saying, I want Swine of XL, you were going to get it. You had it. You could have had a Mega 3 Obama Snow and just kind of smash that out because it was semi-common, we'll say.
Yeah.
That's
either way. Yeah.
With a with a Community Day, with a Mega 3, you can probably get, what do you think, 1,000, 1,200 XL with decent play. And then if you go hardcore, you can get way more. But
yeah, and then I mean after the transfer, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of, let's talk about mega candidates for this. Abomasnow, like you said. Primal Groudon for the ground type coverage as well. Steelix, right?
Steelix for the ground type. That's what I'm going to use.
And I think that's pretty much
Mega Glalie.
Oh, I always forget about Mega Glalie for the ice type as well. So you've got four options. You're more than likely probably have your Abomasnow closest to go or Steelix. I'm going to use my Primal Groudon because I didn't put all that work into him to not use him. And that'll be great. So be ready, trainers. I know this is like only a week away at this point in time, a week and a half. But
that's all the time you need.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool, cool, cool. So on a scale of 1 to pig, how excited are you for Community Day Classic Swine Up?
Like a 4?
Hmm.
It's worth mentioning, Ancient Power is worthless. Oh, it is thematic only because to evolve into Mamoswine in the main series game, Piloswine needs to know Ancient Power, and then it levels up, and then it becomes Mamoswine. It's a bad move. Don't evolve your Mamoswines during Community Day Classic. Don't do it.
Or do it, and then expect to use your TMs.
Yeah. Even if you're going to use it in PvP, it doesn't want Ancient Power. It wants high horsepower. So, and lastly, for me, Swinub has been a shadow Pokemon for a while.
Yes.
It would really be nice to see that incorporated into a Community Day when relevant for the Pokemon.
And like the shiny to be available too as a shadow.
I mean, I'm not even going to push for that because like that's a premium that Niantic and Pokemon Company want to control. But give people the chance who maybe didn't save, you know, 50 shadow Swinub because they were hoping for a time or something.
Yeah.
But see, this argument's so silly because it doesn't actually matter because you can evolve your shadow Swinub whenever you want. Because you don't need Ancient Power.
It's true. That is true.
But it kind of would be nice to like hone in on that meta relevance of Swinub and stuff like that.
Yeah, it should be like a full sort of, you know, celebration of the Pokemon, and that would kind of include its shadow form as well. Like I see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be neat. It'd be neat.
On the same point, I can already see all of the complaints about people who are like, I only want to be catching Pokemon. I don't want to do Rocket Grunts. And I'm like, I get that. That's fair. If there were shadows of that only specific Pokemon, I might be compelled to do them if I wasn't as interested in the day overall. So maybe I'm kind of biased in that regard. So I can see that.
Yeah, but I mean, with the 3x Stardust for catching Pokemon, I feel like a lot of people would probably double down on that perspective more over.
Yeah, well, they had to do the Stardust first because it was coming up, but second because they know Mamoswine's not, it's not enough, you know?
Right, right.
They know this.
At the time that Mamoswine came out, Mamoswine was a big, big deal. Very top tier ice DPS at the time.
This seems like a fantastic time to go into gear up then.
Oh, it does, doesn't it? Why don't we do that?
Because this week on Gear Up, we're going to talk about what's the big deal with Mamoswine. I see that. Look at that. We actually did a transition that made sense. This is episode, what, 250, 233? Yeah.
233. Yeah,
one time. Someone make the counter go up one, please.
There we go.
So, like I mentioned, don't get ancient power. It's bad. At least on Mamoswine, it's bad. You want Powder, Snow, and Avalanche. And as Chris said, Mamoswine has been a dominant ice type since it was added. Since its first community day when they released its evolution, it's kind of blown all of the competition away, pretty much across the board. It's second only to Galarian Darmanitan, and not by very much. It's very, very little difference because Darmanitan is so squishy and Mamoswine has pretty good bulk. Also, Shadow Weavile is higher than regular Mamoswine, but it's a glass cannon, you know. Shadow we'll get Weavile. To there in a second.
Yeah.
Mamoswine even outperforms both Mega Ice types we have in the game. Mega Bombasnow and Mega Glalie do worse than Mamoswine, and I think that's quite telling, honestly.
So is that because of moveset, or?
I mean, it's a combination of both.
Okay.
I don't have the page open anymore, but I think Mega Glalie has just a bad moveset compared to Powder Snow Avalanche, and I think a Mega Bombasnow just doesn't have the stats to back it up like it needs.
It's got like Weather Ball Ice, right, for its charge move, and it uses Powder Snow.
That's not good. Like that.
Yeah, it would. I think both those Megas would probably benefit greatly from like an Avalanche or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm bummer. Actually going to double check now so we have the information. And Mega Glalie has Frost Breath, Avalanche, and Mega Bombasnow has Powder Snow, Weather Ball, Ice. So there you go. Glalie is held back by Frost Breath, although Mega Glalie is fine. It just, Mamoswine's better.
Yeah.
And then a Bombasnow is held back by Weather Ball, which is not a great PvE move for sure.
It's awesome in PvP, but yeah. Those PvP DPS.
It's obnoxious in PvP.
Yeah.
That said, Shadow Mamoswine exists, and it crushes everything, and it's not even close. Like, it's like 15% better than Shadow Weavile. Yeah.
Just, wow.
It's good. Wow. If you're going to do a Shadow, it is worthwhile. That said, if we ever get form changes for Darmanitan into Zen mode, which is unlikely if I had to guess, it will take the crown because its stats are meant to be temporary in the main series game. And if they are permanent here, it would be disgusting.
Oh yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. I personally think that's just going to stay very far away from Go, but
they might treat it like a mega form or something.
It's not, I don't know. It's not special. It's tied to an ability. I think that's the takeaway. Really? It's tied to an ability. I don't think it's coming because it's not technically a form. Although it is technically a form. I don't know, man. It's weird.
We'll see. I bet they're just trying to spend as much time as possible not doing that until they have to.
Yeah, like, how do we do this? Oh, well, we do have the form button, but that seems not like a good idea.
Yeah.
And lastly, Mamoswine is about as future-proof as you can probably get in the current state of the game. There's a couple of Pokemon that could be saved with move updates. Like, Kyurem doesn't have a fast ice move. If it did, it would probably beat Mamoswine. And Calyrex, currently, based on its movesets from the main series game, doesn't have a fast ice move at all. So they would have to invent a new one to give him. And then that would probably compete. Others that aren't in the game are too defensive-oriented, because ice is a very defensive typing, despite the fact that it's defensively very weak. Come on, Pokemon Company, been crying for years. But like Sea Titan from Gen 9 is not, it's not going to be very good as an attacker in Go. Iron Bundle from Gen 9 has the potential, if it got the right moveset, but it's also going to be pretty squishy. And then Baxcalibur from Gen 9 also has potential, but we're like never going to see that. It's going to be like 5 years away before you can even think about having a team of six Baxcalibur.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's kind of scary to think about how long it's going to be until we see like anything notable really from Generation 9 outside of maybe the starters earlier.
They're obviously Goldengo, but than that, it's going to probably be a very long time.
Yeah, Goldengo to me, I understand that's a valid point. It's a good counterpoint. To me, it feels like an outlier, kind of like how Meltan feels like an outlier, you know? But I don't know.
Yeah,
it is definitely more like identity tied to Generation 9 than Meltan was.
Yeah, but like
Generation 8.
At the same time, we did get Galarian Weezing in raids for Gen 8 without too much weight.
But let's be honest, that was weird.
It was weird. And also, we've kind of passed the time frame for that where that would make sense and go. So, yeah. The final takeaway for me is tied back into our news section. This classic is all about XL candy and finding good Mamoswines if you don't currently have them. But you also kind of want to look for shadow ones in the future, so maybe save the XL. It's kind of up to you. I'm not going to wait for shadow Mamoswine, but that's just me.
And also, just a little reminder that if you are going to go the shadow route, which, I mean, is great, you are going to want to play this community day, even if you aren't going to be collecting one, because it's going to cost you a lot of candy to power up that shadow Pokemon, in addition to the dust, which, wouldn't you know it, is also the bonus for that event, so...
I wish you the best of luck for your Mamoswine adventures. I'm not excited to catch more watermelons, honestly.
No, the shiny is less exciting for me because we walked away with a healthy amount last time.
And I've caught four outside of events since then. I'm like, please, no more.
The catch experience was bad the first time.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be a lot better. Swinub is one of those that's like far away.
Yeah.
And it's also small.
Very low to the ground, too. So if you're trying to land, like, even a great throw, 50% of that circle is on the ground.
Yeah, and you have to basically drop the ball, but it's also far away, so it's like, what am I doing? I don't expect that to be fixed. I don't expect them to move Swinub any closer. They just will probably affect the base catch rate.
I think it has been moved since that initial community day, but not very much.
We'll certainly see how we feel.
I think it's a teensy bit closer.
Come April.
Yeah, but yeah, you had to really wind and crank that thing on that first community day. It was woo-wee. It was something else. Give your throwing arm a cramp, you know? My goodness. But cool. Great. I feel like I'm prepared and I know what I'm looking for in this upcoming Community Day Classic. It's also like, just as an aside, kind of cool to see. I was like pretty sure that Mamoswine had fallen off of meta relevance, but it's neat to see that it still is very, very usable, you know, and relevant. And while the shadow version is great, it doesn't solely rely on being shadow for being good. And that's always nice to see. But... cool. Anyway, we are going to take a very short break here. And then when we come back, we're going to be hopping into the Pokalore, which, as advertised, is going to be the Bon Sweet family. So stay tuned. And as advertised, this week for Pokalore, we're covering Bon Sweet, Steenie, and Serena, the fruit Pokemon. Yes, they all share a category, my favorite. Okay, first is Bon Sweet. Bon Sweet is a small Pokemon resembling a mangosteen. Most of its body is pinkish purple with a short white skirt around its waist, which resembles the flesh of a mangosteen when it is cut open. It has beady yellow eyes and two tiny legs. On top of its head is a green calyx. This structure consists of four leafy green formations and a short stem. This Pokemon exudes a delicious smell from its entire body, which has made it popular with the people of the Alola region. This scent has a calming effect on people, so they are often used as living air fresheners. Function. Function and fashion. However, its sweet scent has also caused it to be swallowed whole or collected by other Pokemon, especially Toucanon and Greedent. It is too sweet for human consumption, but its sweat can be used to make a juice. Oh, that's not a sentence I ever want to say again. Woo. Ball and sweet was highly valued by humans in the past in a time when sweets were rare. While fleeing danger, Bon Sweet skips skips along in a way that does not convey its desperation. As a result, no one ever comes to help it, and it's been known to drive away enemies by rotating its calyx, but it becomes dizzy afterward. Aw. Imagine being caught in the prison of your own positivity. Goodness. Next up is Steenie. While it has a delectable fragrance, this Pokemon also has a tomboyish personality that can make it hard to get along with. What does that even mean?
Wait, what does that even mean? Why is tomboy a hard to get along with personality?
I disagree. I completely disagree with this. I don't know. This person had some previous experience that they're just like projecting to here. Goodness me. Steenie scent is a popular antiperspirant used by humans and helps others feel invigorated. Steenie's peeled rind can be used for stomach pains. Its calyx has hardened, allowing it to play with other Pokemon without worrying about being damaged. However, the leaves spin as Steenie moves and often strike nearby objects. It apparently does not care what it hits and even uses the calyx as a form of attack. Foes are struck with the leaves first, then kicked by one of Steenie's equally hard legs. It also uses those legs to protect itself from its natural predator, Corvisquire. Steenie are known to bounce around the forests it lives in. Corvisquire, get out of here. That's mean. Don't do that. It's a great Pokemon, though. I'm so ready for Corviknight, dude.
Yeah.
So ready. Lastly, Serena. On top of Serena's head is a light green calyx. The shortest leaf of the calyx extends slightly forward and then curves to the right, similar to side-swept bangs. The other three leaves resemble long hair and extend nearly to the ground. The three long leaves each have three yellow spots near the top and three near the bottom. The markings are present on both the upper and undersides of the leaves. On top of the calyx is a growth resembling a small purple crown with four thin yellow stripes. Serena is known to be both powerful and aggressive. This Pokemon has a high-class nature and punishes anyone that approaches it with evil in mind. This attitude will even be directed at its trainer if given commands Serena dislikes, such as being told to use an ineffective move. Let's go, Queen. Let's go. Touching the crown-like growth on its head is said to render it defenseless, however, and instantly calms it down. So like a... like an off button, you know.
Yeah,
like pass. those little droids from episode one, Phantom Menace. So hit the nose. Oh, same sort of stuff. That's in the corner of somebody's brain that just got scratched. Yeah. Serena fights using finely honed kicks and graceful movements. Every time it lands a hit, it cackles at its opponent. It will even continue kicking or stepping on a downed opponent, laughing boisterously. I think I'm falling in love with this Pokemon. This might be a new favorite. Additionally, its sweet fragrance acts as a distraction. Because only the most powerful Steenie evolve into Serena, this Pokemon uses its power to protect its pre-evolved forms. Quaquaval is Serena's rival in kicking. Serena is the only known Pokemon capable of learning the move, Trop Kick.
Wow, I just...
Trop Kick.
No. I'm still backing up, though. How are you going to disrespect Hitmonlee like that?
Ooh, you're right.
How are you going to do that? I need to look and see if Hitmonlee's dex entry says something about kicking with incredible force, because I'm sad.
I mean, anyways. I'm sure it does. I think it's also known for kicking really fast, though.
Continue with the stats. I'll check back in.
Our investigative journalist Kyle is on the case. For stats, max CP at 40 is 2964, and at 50... 3351, honestly not too shabby. 176 stamina, 195 defense, and 222 attack. Kind of all over the place. 222 attack is all right, but middling, to be honest. Did you find it?
No, I did, but 95 defense is also just laughable.
I think it's actually 195.
195? Okay, see, that makes... Are you sure? These seem low stats for 222 attack. We're gonna check in the meantime. I'm gonna talk about Hitmonlee, because Hitmonlee said Hitmonlee's kicking strength is incredibly powerful owing to its diamond-like soles. It has sometimes been nicknamed the Kickmaster.
Okay, yeah. Then this should have been referenced in this. Come on.
There's some bias here for later generations, I can see.
But yes, it is 195 defense. So yeah, 222 attack, 195 defense, and 176 stamina.
I still think it's disrespectful to say that Quackleval's kicking contends with these, but okay.
Yeah, I didn't realize that that Pokemon was known for his kicks at all.
Okay.
I know that the sweet dance moves, you know, I need that, but yeah, you know, who knows. But for best move set for Serena, Charm or Magical Leaf, if you're building for grass, for DPS, with Grass Knot and Stomp. It's got an interesting move set for sure.
It's got to have that Stomp.
Gonna have that stomp. That's right. So, Kyle, any love for Bonsuite, Steenie, or Serena?
I love Bonsuite. Bonsuite is adorable. It is a great design.
Yeah.
I don't like the evolutions at all.
You don't like Serena?
No. It's very weird to me.
I like Steenie because the leaves as like pigtails is like a cool sort of like design choice. I think it looks okay. Steenie's
fine.
Weird.
Steenie's fine. It's kind of weird that it has like no feet, basically. Like it has legs, but they just are points. And I don't know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Serena is just weird. I think it is. As a Pokemon, it makes me slightly uncomfortable.
Okay.
It's weird. I don't like the Pokemon. I love Bonsuite though. It's so cute.
Yeah, Bonsuite is sweet. I like Serena though, and I like it a lot more now after having read this about how it laughs when it kicks its enemy. That's just so BM.
Like, do you think its signature move is called Drop Kick because they couldn't get away with saying Drop Kick?
I think they were trying to be clever. Like, it's tropical, mm-hmm. Drop Kick. Yeah,
it's still its signature move, by the way. I don't think anybody else can learn it, so that's kind of neat.
Yeah, they even said in here it's the only known Pokemon capable of learning it, which is cool. It's very rare to see on, like, non-legendaries a preserved signature move.
Yeah.
So, good on you, Serena. But anyway, that's Pokalore, which means that, yes, it's time, Pokepoll.
So last week's Pokepoll was, if you could change the color of one shiny Pokemon, what would it be? What color would you choose instead, and why? We got a nice variety of answers this week.
Mm-hmm.
First one from Moshpit said, the one that bothers me the most has got to be Gengar, but not in the way you probably think. I'm okay with the main color. It's the tongue that upsets me. Shiny Haunter has a blue tongue. Shiny Gengar should have a blue tongue too. You know what? I can get behind this, but I have to take it one further because if you go back to 2D art, Shiny Haunter also has a blue glowing aura around its hands. Oh. We lost that when it went to 3D.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So definitely yes with the blue tongue, but give me that blue aura back and we're in business. The next response is from Walrein. They said, how about a Garchomp fix? Given its design and jet-like dynamics, I thought the forest green / red, like old fighter pilot planes with the intimidating shark face, would be amazing. Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah,
like a Spitfire. Yeah. I think that's the plane we're thinking of here.
Exactly, yeah.
For sure.
And actually, they had provided an image of that exact plane. So, yes, nice. You're right. That's nice. Cool-looking plane.
Next one's from Modders, and he said, hello, gents. I'd change the color of the costume Pikachu that had the Rayquaza, Lucario, Umbreon, and Charizard hats on. Still really bothers me that they don't match the hats to their shiny if you caught the shiny Pika. Love your work as ever, chaps. Oh, that'd be so cool if the Rayquaza hat on the shiny was also shiny, so it was black.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The Umbreon hat would have been slick with the blue instead of the yellow highlights. Oh, man.
Come on. We have to calm down. I don't think Niantic can program their game to work like that.
True. I mean, yeah, maybe not.
They had to turn off Eevee spawns when Eevee was in field research with a flower crown for a month. So
true. True. It's like, oh, just turn that off. Bottom of the pile.
Our next response is from ThickNick13 via Spotify. And they said, hi, Chris and Kyle. ThickNick13 here. As a Team Mystic member, Articuno Shiny needs a change. It barely looks different from the normal and lacks inspiration. Ice White or anything else would be great.
Ooh.
Okay, so here's the thing. Legendary Birds. It's only logical. They should have done this in Gen 3 and just continued with it. Rotate their colors.
Yeah.
Articuno becomes red, Zapdos becomes blue, and Moltres becomes yellow. It's like maybe different because Moltres is already a little yellow, yeah. But it makes so much sense. Kyogre should have became red and Groudon should have became blue. Like, it's just, oh, it writes itself and everybody would have probably liked it.
So, the Legendary Birds, like you said, if you just turn that rotation around the other way, think about that for a second because it's sick. Red Zapdos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yellow Articuno. So on board for all of this. And then a blue Moltres, or like the flames are blue and it's white or something like that. Like oh my gosh.
they manually changed Charizard. They should have manually changed the birds.
That's right.
Anyways,
yeah. Come on. We're screaming at the heavens here.
Could you imagine if they changed the shiny like 15 years later? People would lose their minds.
People would lose their mind because, and they would lose it over, not because of the change, which, I mean, is something that people would lose their minds over, but they'd probably lose it because they would just criticize the ones that they chose. Oh, why didn't you choose something else?
Yep,
why didn't you choose this? Like, you know.
Well, or they'd be like, but I liked that one.
Right, exactly.
It looked bad.
Exactly. We're going to find out real quick who the original Gengar stands are with no taste if they ever fix that shiny.
Right. what does shiny Gigantamax Gengar look like? Is it bad? I don't know. I've never seen it.
No, I believe it's white like the Mega.
Oh, it's crime. It's
I'm
a
pretty
crime.
Sure. Yeah.
We're going to move on. Well, I'm upset. Next one's from Mr. Toad 89 from Spotify. And they said, honestly, Pikachu. It's the flagship Pokemon, so why is Pikachu's shiny only a little bit darker in color than its normal form?
Mm-hmm.
Why not bright blue like Mew's shiny? Anything is better than what we have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally fair. I imagine the reason they never changed that was because they're, like, scared.
Probably. And, I mean, in the world of same color shinies, that one is the most fine, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's one of the least offensive, but it's still not okay.
It's still so unnecessarily underwhelming, yes.
Yeah.
You know what it looks like? It looks like, you know, that stuff that they spray bodybuilders with to give them, like, that golden sheen. That's what that color looks like to me. It reminds me of that every time.
Yeah. It definitely looks like Pikachu went and got a spray tan or something to try and pretend that it was shiny.
It really does. To be fair, it's a high quality spray tan.
Yeah. Yeah.
No spots missed.
I don't know. Why don't you go give it a hug?
Yeah.
Our next response is from Ginger via Twitter. They said, Leafeon. He needs to be a fall colored boy and not just a different shade of green. Oh, all of the Eevees. Just like, I know Jolteon and Umbreon have drastic changes, but of all the families that should have been hand touched, Eevees should have been. And like a fall design like Chikorita, but on Leafeon would have been so good.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So this question was like our most popular question ever, our Pokeball ever on Twitter. And so Ginger's post got like 170 some odd likes, I think, or something like that. And the sentiment around a fall-colored Leafeon was like by far, besides Gengar, I think, and Garchomp, the most popular and reiterated change that people were looking for. Like people feel really strongly across the board about Leafeon shiny. I don't blame them. Leafeon's
Pokemon, I think so. Leafeon and Glaceon got the real short end of the stick of those shinies. Like Umbreon... You love it or you hate it?
Yeah.
Well, you love it or you hate it?
Yeah.
Some people want to see the black change, and some people like that just the yellow changes. So
I like the green on Espeon. It's like one of the green shinies that I think it's totally cool because it's so different.
I think Espeon and Vaporeon are the best of the family just because they're so bright and jarring. I think it works.
People were actually kind of vocal about Vaporeon too, which I was surprised with because pink shinies are like generally beloved.
But like it with the logic we've had, we'll get back to the next answer in a second. With the logic that we've had, a lot of blue Pokemon become pink and like brilliantly pink. And so that's just, it's fine. It fits with the game and the Pokedex as a whole, at least.
That's right. If it's good enough for Kyogre, it's good enough for everybody else.
Right.
That's right.
All right. Next one is from MetaChampion328 from Twitter. And they said, Spaghetti and Meatballs Tangela. It's perfect. It's perfect, including a picture. It's a Tangela where it's pasta colored. You know, it's an off-white, and it's just like pasta the feet are still brown. Or, well, the feet are brown. And, yeah.
It's pasta colored.
Yeah. It's great. It would work perfectly for...
Who says that? I mean,
for an early right. variant of Tangela, too.
I feel like for the audio only listeners, pasta color was probably the way to go, actually. I've just never heard that out loud, but people can probably
pasta has
imagine
color
that.
Unless you actually color it differently.
That's right, with sauce.
That said, I can totally see a convergent evolution Tangela that looks like the flying spaghetti monster or something.
Yeah, exactly.
From another region. There it would work so good.
Yeah, but so yeah, the idea is that it's like little weebly woos are like, you know, yellow or whatever, and its feet are brown. And so in this image, it's sitting, so it looks like two meatballs. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
All right. The last written answer we have is from EV Girl Boston. They said, hey, Chris and Kyle, this is the form of an email. Longtime listener and first time caller here. I just had to answer this week's question of what shiny would you color swap? For me, it's some of the evolutions. They have so much potential. Vaporeon, Espeon, Umbreon, Sylveon, and Jolteon are all fine. But what did they do to Flareon, Leafeon, and Glaceon? Flareon would be cool if it was blue flames instead of the light gold.
Yeah.
Leafeon would be amazing with an autumnal look with some red/orange leaves.
Yeah.
And Glaceon would look cool with a silvery white color similar to shiny Eevee or fresh snow. I love the evolutions so much. They really are the best Pokemon. Have a great week, Eevee Girl Boston, a.k.a. Elise. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be upset if they changed Jolteon either. I like the jarring change from yellow to green, but
yeah,
I think it could be better.
It could be more flashy, but it is the least of our worries
yeah.
when it comes that,
and
to that.
I don't think it's a question that Sylveon has the best shiny of the Eevees.
Like oh, but to the blue from the pink? Yeah.
Yeah, it's not even close. It's good. Clean. It's very clear that they did that one by hand.
Yeah, and I think they knew what they were doing with that one because people were... Every time that we get a new evolution, as rare as it is, it's such a big deal.
Yeah.
So, good, good, good. Then we did have one voicemail answer, and this is from Flash1087.
Hi, GoCast. I would like to change Pikachu's shiny color to either blue or purple. Because lightning, as I've seen by a Tesla coil, is actually purple and blue when it strikes. But I think it should be blue, because blue is a sign of more energy. And we would like to see that shiny Pikachu has more energy, because it clearly does. Sorry for the long, short voicemail. Sorry for the medium voicemail.
Yeah, there you go.
Bye.
All right, love it. So yeah. I think that'd be cool. It'd be cool if like it was blue and like its cheeks were purple and they illuminated, or vice versa. That'd be sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's very funny because I've mentioned it before, but I played a tabletop version of Pokemon where one of the homebrews from the DM was a blue Pikachu that had like a really edgy personality. So I think that's very fun. I like the idea of a blue Pikachu.
The thing about the blue Pikachu is that like when Meryl came out and people called it Pikablue,
yeah.
I think of that all the time, you know?
Yeah.
So, oh man. Pokemon fans really know how to make clever and catchy shade about anything. Just, you know, it's a gift.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for that voicemail, Flash. We appreciate it.
For this week's PokePoll, we have, where would you realistically like to see GoFest this year? And what do you think that location has to offer over others?
Clarification at the end is so that y'all aren't like, my town, because I live here. Well, that's not a good enough reason. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
Come on. Yeah. Like, if you want to say your town because you happen to live in, like, I don't know, L.A., then okay, yeah, sure.
Do we not get to say Chicago?
No, you can. I mean, I think that that has proof of concept, you know?
So I mean, so see, here's the thing. Like, I want to say Chicago because, like, it just makes sense. It works, obviously. And also, we live here. But
yeah, yeah.
I don't want it to be Chicago because I want to go somewhere.
True. Yeah, I'm the same way. I feel exactly the same. Like, my number one choice would be Chicago, but it's mostly a convenience factor. And, you know, we've been spoiled. We've had it here several times. I know. Yeah. But I didn't know what we had until it was gone.
Yeah.
So aside from Chicago, which is, like, our number one choice for both of us, I think.
I think I'm going to say one in the UK. Say one in Europe rather, because the U.S. is, it's kind of easy. There's like five or six like places you kind of pick around the map for. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see something in Italy, somewhere. I'd love to travel to Italy to play Pokemon Go.
That'd be cool.
Literally anywhere. I know nothing about their infrastructure and what kind of parks and play is in Italy, but I'd love to find out.
But UK and actually pretty much everywhere except for United States has so much more history than we do, and so the monuments and the plaques and stuff are plentiful, and mm-hmm. so there's a lot of opportunities for Pokestops and things like that. So is there any like particular city in Italy you'd like to see it in particular?
I mean I'd love to see it in Rome, but I don't I don't know what it's like. Rome is on my bucket list. I want to go to Rome.
You should go. Yeah. I was really hoping that you weren't going to say Venice, so thank you for not saying Venice.
No, it seems like a terrible choice.
As somebody who has a fear of you know, fish and water like that.
I mean, it's okay. I have a fear because I can't swim, so, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got roads made out of water, man.
In that not a good idea for me. Yeah.
Cool. That's a good choice. I'm having the same issue because, like, when I'm thinking instantly of, like, you know, locations in the U.S., which is Chicago, Seattle, where we've seen it before. Other potential locations would be, like, I don't know, another big city is New York. They could do L.A. They've had events there before. Where else in the United States do you need to see it?
They could do, like, Austin or Houston Texas. That might be really hot, though, the later in the season.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got to be with the fact we don't even know when it is yet.
And I don't think Austin has... I've only been there once. I didn't see a whole lot of it. But I don't think that there's really a big park that they could use for that. I'm not entirely sure. I'm sure somebody will correct me.
And then probably somewhere in Florida, I guess, would be my... Like, those are like seven locations in my mind when I think of Go is...
Yeah,
for an event, Chicago, New York, pick a place in Florida because there's probably a couple, L.A., Seattle, and you could probably do others in California like San Antonio or something like that too.
So they did Vegas, then why not New Orleans?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, outside of the states, I would love to go to Quebec.
Okay, Canada Go Fest, let's go.
I would love to. I've never been to Canada, despite it being our neighbor, and I would love an excuse to just, you know, make that short trip north. That'd be great. Cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, dear listener, if you have an answer to this week's Pokeball question, which was, again, where would you realistically like to see Go Fest this year, and what do you think this that location has to offer over others, you can answer when we post that on Twitter. If you're a patron of ours, we have a patron exclusive Discord channel, the Pokepole channel, to post your answers in. If you're listening on Spotify via the mobile app, you can reply to the question there. If you're watching on YouTube, you can also reply to the question there, or you can send us an email to mail@gocastpodcast.com or send us a voicemail to 262-586-7717. And if you forgot either of those, you can just go to gocastpodcast.com and we have a contact us page and all that information is there. So there you go. But speaking of emails and voicemails and all that good stuff, Kyle, would you do me the honors?
It's time for emails.
Yeah, buddy. And one voicemail. Let's start with this voicemail from Kevin Red Bull.
Hey, Chris and Kyle, it's Kevin Red Bull here. I haven't called you guys in a while, so I figured I'd give you a holler and let you know what's going on. Ever since I hit level 50 on Noibat Community Day, I've basically become free to play due to, you know, how things have been going inside of the game. and been drawing further back away to focus on myself and my relationship, and it's felt a lot better. It's also been easy considering the company has been handling things so poorly, especially with the remote raid pass cutback. I've strictly been just going based off of what coins I can get daily or buy daily, and I feel so much more relaxed. It is fun to complain about Pokemon Go and what Niantic is doing and the decisions they're making and how they're treating us and how they're completely ignoring us. So I'm actually doing more of talking about it than I am actually playing it. Like right now, I'm on my lunch break and I'm playing Monopoly Solitaire because I have a chocolate campfire as a game piece. So you see me actually not playing the game for the moment. I mean, granted, it is vanilla spawns because we're in the middle of no events. But anyways, yeah, I just wanted to give you guys a call and let you know what's going on with me. I've just been cutting back to a casual player now that I've reached the top and achieved my goal. I am officially 30 now, so I am, in my head, I am a Pokemon master in this game because this is the one that I strived to reach. So I'm just kind of sitting at the top and basking in my glory. This might be a little bit of a gloating voicemail. My apologies, guys.
No need.
I'm still here. I'm still listening. So, please send me gifts. I miss you guys. And it's not like we're going to raid unless there's another big raid event, like, you know, Go Tour. So, please send me gifts. I promise I'll send some back. Love you. Miss you. Also, P.S., I'm pretty sure cats, because the one guy said hags and cats last week on his voicemail, cats might be catch all the shinies. So, hags and cats, love you guys. Shiny vibes all. Kevin Red Bull, out.
Have a great summer and catch all the shinies. I like that. I would have written that in somebody's yearbook, that's for sure. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for the voicemail, Kevin. Yeah, it's been a hot minute since Kyle and I have really had to think about gifts because, again, we used to get our friendships up by raiding, and now there's a whole lot less of that going on. So,
gifts.
Yeah, sorry.
I've been trying. I don't send them very well, but I've been sort of opening them.
Yeah, I do like 3 or 4 a day when I remember, and then I'm like, okay, that's enough for now. I'll come back later, and I never do. So, yikes. But anyway, thanks very much for the voicemail. And good on you for taking a step back and taking time for yourself and improving everything over there. That sounds great. So keep that up. Keep it up. But besides that, we've got some emails as well. And this first one is from Jonas. And they said, "Hi, Chris and Kyle. Just a short input from a rural player with 5 kilometers to the nearest gym regarding the debate on Niantic nerfing the remote raid passes. The official argument from Niantic goes that they want to rebalance the game, but by nerfing the remote raids, Niantic does the exact opposite. From now on, the community will be divided into the affluent players who had the opportunity, expensively that is, to grind for and max their legendary and mythical Pokemon via remote raids, and new or newer players who will never get the same opportunity unless they are lucky enough to live in a highly populated area with a very active Pokemon Go community. This will result in an extremely unbalanced game where the grinding kings of old, like for instance Brandon Tan and Fleece King as extreme examples, will never be challenged by anyone, and where Master League will be dominated by those who made it before the nerfing. I have not come across this argument in the debate, although it probably is out there, so I thought I would share it with you. Keep grinding and doing your brilliant podcast. To me, your conversations are the best part of the Pokemon Go experience, and as always, sorry for the long email. Smiley face. Best, Jonas." First of all, thank you very much for the kind words. Appreciate that, of course. And yeah, good point. You know, so it doesn't really like fix the situation insofar as people that have already gotten that advantage. It's just taking that opportunity away from other people. Now, that opportunity might have been, you know, sort of gated by how much money you could spend or not spend, but it doesn't make the damage that was already done, quote unquote, from that perspective, any better. It just locks everybody down where they're at, more or less, right? With inches being moved instead of miles in a day's work or a week's work, right? So it's a bit of a frustrating thing. I don't know. I don't know what to think about that, Kyle. What's your thought?
It's a fantastic point to have. One that I thought of, but not like, what are you going to do? Right? Like,
yeah.
no matter what was going to happen, any reduction to the system only hurts newer players the most.
Mm-hmm.
Even especially when they reduce the damage that you're going to deal in remote raids, because that will happen. That is going to happen at some point. Brace yourselves. It will be next season. I can almost guarantee it.
Yeah.
It makes no sense that it wouldn't.
It's the last thing. I'm surprised that they haven't done it yet.
And it's going to be bad. Based on what it looks like now, it's going to be real bad. Yeah, there's just rebalance it for the people who play the game legitimately, I suppose, and or play it casually.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's not good. There's no positive spin on this aspect.
No. And I think the hope is that eventually it will all sort of even out, right? But those hardcore players, if they're maxing things out to the most that they can, they're still going to maintain that lead because there's no chance for somebody to, you know, bridge that gap because everybody's now normalized the same speed if you're doing everything you can, right?
Yeah, and exactly. It's kind of, but I mean, at a certain point, you normalize when Pokemon keep coming back.
Yeah.
And like Brandatan's never going to stop doing raids, stop hatching eggs and all that. But at a certain point, it doesn't matter if he has 5 Hundo Dialga all at level 50, you only need 1 to take part in Master League.
Right.
For the comparison. So theoretically, in an infinite amount of time, it balances out. That time, though, is a very long way away for the average player.
Yes. Yeah. And in the meantime, there's no stopgap, right? So
yeah, like even in the current system, if you want to max out a legendary, you're looking at 40 raids ish. Average legendaries has been in the raids for like 10 days at a time, 7 to 10 days at a time, 4 raids a day. Not all remote because people aren't doing as many remote raids.
Yeah, very true.
The average player is going to struggle to do 1 a day.
Yeah, I still can't believe how little I'm seeing people raid now. I think I did 1 Tapu Bulu this week, and my initial gut reaction was like, I don't want to do that. I'm like, well, I got to try once, right? And so I did 1 Tapu Bulu remote raid. But even in our remote raiding channel in our Discord, which is almost always popping, it's been like pretty dead. There's been like maybe
it's completely dead. I actually went to go look. Since April 6th, when this went live, there has been 5 posts.
Oh, man.
1 Lugia, 3 Landorus, and 1 Tapu Bulu.
Yep.
We would get like a dozen, 20 in a day, depending on the raid boss, obviously.
Yeah, so it would be like 5 to 20. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Proof is in the pudding for sure. So I don't know. Again, we have not received any sort of reaction or comment officially from Niantic on this whole topic. So that frustration is still there. Anyway, we will absolutely keep you updated as soon as we hear something, but you know, has not happened. But either way, thank you very much for writing in, Jonas. We appreciate it.
Next email is from Kel Drinks Custard. They said, "Hey guys, how's it going?
Hello.
I've had an idea about how Niantic could fix the remote raid issue without compromising what they want. Instead of limiting us to 5 a day, I think they should do a weekly limit of 35. That way, raid hour days aren't wasted because everyone has participated in the Australian one. To me, that wouldn't feel as bad. That being said, I rarely raid these days anyway, so I'd love to hear what serious raiders think of that. Also, it would be nice if they just put the prices back. Reducing the items rewarded for remote passes and increasing the items for in-person would be a much better idea, in my opinion. Perhaps 7,500 Stardust from in-person and 1,000 Stardust from remote raids. Or they could set up a weekly reward system for in-person raids. Complete 7 in-person raids a week could unlock 2 raid passes. Could work, potentially. It just seems to me there are so many positive changes to make, but they don't want to even try. This is fair. We'll read the second half in a second because there's a couple things to address. A weekly limit is so much better than a daily limit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
it has
so much.
It has its own pros and cons, but more pros than cons for the daily.
Yes.
Yeah.
That said, Chris and I were talking about this before the show, and they want you to be playing every day.
They do.
So a weekly limit works against the basic premise of mobile game design, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That said, I do like the idea. It would work out almost perfectly for me because that's how I use to raid, as I've mentioned.
Yeah, I like it a lot better, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the rest of the email. My girlfriend and I went to the European Championships last weekend and had a great time. Unfortunately, I was on crutches, so we only did one day. But the staff was all exceptional and incredibly helpful. Really feel like they went out of their way to make the experience as easy as they could for me. I really want up to compete next time, but I know that I'll just lose in the first round and sulk for the rest of the day, so maybe not. Anyways, on a much more positive note, I'm absolutely loving all my fellow comrades in the not apologizing movement. One day, I believe, we'll get through a single episode without a single apology. You're welcome for the long email. Have a good one. Kelv drinks custard. Resident average player. Recovering apologizer.
Recovered apologizer.
No, it says, I changed it. You're always recovering. You're never recovered.
Oh, okay. Tell that to Pokemon that used the move recover. They used it. That was in the past. They recovered. What a weird word, by the way. Like, if you think about that, like the word cover, like to cover something and then to recover something, sounds like you're just putting a cover back on top of it. Like, oh, I'm going to recover that pot so that the steam can cook the thing. Like, how did that? I don't understand English.
Don't think about English too much. It'll make your head hurt.
It's awful. Anyway. Yeah, EUIC looked like it was a grand old time. I saw a lot of people posting about it, sharing their photos and their time, and everybody seemed to have a really great time. We had some members of our community met over the weekend as well over there, and it just sounded like a great experience. So happy to hear it. Fingers crossed NAIC is just as great. So, yeah. But thank you very much for the email, Kelvin. Appreciate you. And this last one is from Ethan. And they said, hello, GoCast, longtime listener, first time emailer. My wife is going to be out of town during the time of the sustainability event. So I'm planning on getting a lot more playing in. She's pregnant, so it's hard for her to walk long distances. Okay, that's a fair point. With the event helping buddies, I'm wondering if you could explain how to maximize Poffin usage. I'm always afraid to use them because I'm scared of messing up and wasting them. Thank you in advance. Love the show. Ethan. Okay. So, Poffin usage. There are a suite of things that you can do with your Poffin in order to generate hearts. My personal strategy, and Kyle, I'm excited to hear yours as well. Mm-hmm. But my personal strategy is use the Poffin first. That's the first thing you do, obviously. Don't do anything else. Don't take that picture. Don't be doing the petting stuff. Don't do any of that. Use the Poffin first. And then take a snapshot. And then rub their head until they're happy, right? That's the stuff that you can take care of. It's like in that screen, first of all. Mm-hmm. Then you probably want to do three training things with a team leader with that Pokemon in your party. You don't really have to even complete it. You can just like pop in, and once you're instanced, you can leave. And yep, then
just make sure it's in the party.
Exactly. And then after that, walk somewhere to get those walking things. And try to walk somewhere that has a stop, if you can, that you haven't seen before so that you get that extra heart as well. And then keep an eye out for when the souvenir is available for that last heart.
Yeah, oh, I think you can get up to three hearts from your buddy giving you a gift each day.
Yeah, it's,
technically. So I'm not sure what the
rules. Yeah, I don't know what the rules are around it, but I know that
I've definitely gotten three.
Oh, okay, cool.
Great. Definitely at least three.
Yeah, I know that it can go up to three, but do you know how long it was between those interactions or what you had to do?
I do not. Okay. It was over the course of a single event. So 8 hours at most for like all three. Worth noting, those souvenir bonuses, those do not get doubled by the Poffin. So they're a standalone thing. It's still worth getting. I think Chris summed it up very well. The one thing I think a lot of people neglect for good reason is the new interaction, whether it's a gym or a stop. Finding one that you've never visited while the buddy is out can be difficult for most players. If you like really care about the game and that's a good one to maximize. And that said, if you're going to be out and playing really hard, especially during this event, you can very easily max out more than one Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
With 1 kilometer per heart, and you get, you know, you only need 3 to max out that Pokemon, and then you do all the other stuff that Chris listed. You can switch to another one and keep walking and, you know, use another Poffin and do more trainer battles and whatever. If that's something you want, this is a good event to do it if you're out and playing because of that less walk distance.
Yep, agreed. But also, I kind of want to stress that if this stresses you out, I suppose, for lack of a better word, then just use a Poffin before you're going to go out and do your play session. It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're walking around, battling stuff, just catching Pokemon, just use a Poffin prior, and more often than not, you're going to knock a lot of those hearts out just by playing the game.
Yeah, the only restrictor for using a Poffin and wanting to make sure you're like getting your value is make sure you're walking.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you're hatching an egg, get your buddy on the map and use a Poffin. That's 6 hearts right there, yep, without even doing anything.
Well, I mean, besides the walking.
Well, you're walking, but like you're not actually interacting with the buddy.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's a really big deal, and that's a great way to use up your Poffins. It's how I used up all like 30 of mine.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah. So in short, Poffin, play, snapshot, battle, 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 walk, 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 walk.
Yep.
And then the rest, you know, like whatever are ancillary stuff. But you really, really want to knock out the ones where you get, you know, the double heart bonus from the Poffin stuff, which are the ones that we mentioned. So good deal. Good luck, Ethan. Thanks for writing in. And that brings us to the end of the show. If you, dear listener, would like to send us an email just like these fine folks did, you can by sending it to mail@gocastpodcast.com. You can also leave us a voicemail by calling 262-586-7717. Visit our website for all things GoCast, gocastpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter @GoCastPodcast. If you'd like to help support the show monetarily, you can at any price you choose at patreon.com. That's patreon.com/GoCastPodcast. And now that your mouth is relatively healed, Kyle, would you like to shout out our elite trainer tier patrons this week?
All right. We've got shout out to Bo, Daniel, Lori, Michael, Ozzy, Ted, Tish, Marvin, and Mimi, Sforz, Sue, and Ryan, Thayer, Jason, Justin, Charles, Modders, Lee, William, Brandon, Ethan, Steven, Nick, Calvin, our favorite listener, Drew 2, Camero, and Ugly Rock. And the Ugly Rock. Oh, no.
That's right. The only Ugly Rock. There is no other Ugly Rock. Awesome. Yes, thank you very much for your patronage and helping us keep the digital lights on. And of course, as always, if monetary support is not in the cards for you, or you'd rather help the show in addition to that, please consider leaving a review. It's free for you and it means the world to us. And we got a review posted by somebody's name. It's like a shrugging emoji, sort of, but like typed out. It's great. It's called, the review is called "The Best Pokemon Go Podcast Out There." And the post is, "It's the best Pokemon Go podcast. I don't know what else to say." Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
I don't know what else to say. Yeah. Cool. Cool, cool, cool. So yes, please consider doing that. It helps us out a lot. Unless, of course, you are listening on Google Podcasts, DeFi. This means you. Okay, and that leaves just setting some goals as we walk out the door here. Kyle, do you need some more time? I've got my goals ready to go. I'm only setting 3 this week.
I'm also ready with 3.
Okay, all right. You want to go first?
Sure.
All right.
We have very similar goals.
We do. So, we do.
I want to make sure I get a Serena, because otherwise I'm going to probably forget and only catch a handful. I'm going to hatch 50 eggs. I want the Drillbur, honestly. That's the goal.
Let's go.
I just bought some incubators because I was all out of supers. So don't worry about that. I already had the coins. They are not, I did not buy them recently, at least. And continue my mega progress. I would like my Groudon to be done by May. Wait, hang on. Now I need to actually see. Hang
Primal?
On. Chris, go ahead. I'm going to see how long I need for my Groudon because I want to set that.
Okay, gotcha. I also want to catch, evolve, and register up a Serena. One shiny, it could be anything. Hopefully it's Drillbur. That's really what I'm going for, but I will take anything for the sake of just getting this goal done. And then 50 eggs as well, because that will be symptomatic to my efforts for that shiny.
All right. So I need 20 more interactions with my Groudon. So we're just going to set that goal in like 2 weeks. That's the goal here.
Okay. Okay.
Cool. Work on the Groudon every day.
Yeah, man, I wish I had a Hundo Kyogre. I'm not working on the Primal Kyogre at all as a result.
Yeah, I got a 98. It's close enough.
I got a 98 too, but because it's so close.
Yeah, but mine's shiny.
Mine's not shiny. Okay. Oh, no, so then you're right. Yeah. No, that's
good enough for me.
That's fine. Maybe. Yeah, that thing could be 14, 15, 15. I'd be like, I don't care. It's shiny. It's fine. Cool. All right. Well, anyway, that brings us to the absolute end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening all the way through. We appreciate it. And until next week on episode 234, we wish you shiny luck. May all of your 7Ks hold shiny Drillbur. But shiny luck and all that good stuff. Bye-bye.
Bye.